So it's probably worth just starting off. I mean, obviously, you grew up in Manchester in Whitefield, didn't you? Did you have any early heroes from City or?
It was a strange one, really, because I was involved in football. I didn't get to go to a lot of games. It was very working class. I wasn't from a sporting background, so the weekends for me was playing for Boundary Park Juniors when I was old enough. So when I was about under 12s, 13s, 14s, I played for Boundary Park Juniors. So every Saturday and Sunday we were playing. So I didn't really get to any games, but the first game I actually went to was with Boundary Park Juniors. We were playing across in were we playing it? Yeah, we must have been playing in Sheffield somewhere. And Sheffield Wednesday were hosting Manchester City in the afternoon. So
Right.
the manager, Sid Rimmer, who I've still got a relationship with now, he took us up to the game afterwards, and it was arranged with the club. And I just remember coming, I think we were allowed to come through the tunnel for some reason before we went to our seats. And I just remember going into the stadium and seeing their big Kop End opposite. And I was just like, my breath was taken away. I could not believe it. I'd been to Main Road a couple of times, mainly for carnivals and things like that when I was in the area, but not so much to watch any football because, like I say, I didn't have the money to go to games. And I was almost like a fair weather supporter where, I had to pin my allegiance to a team. And for whatever reason, I just didn't like Manchester United. So there's a lot of Liverpool fans around at the time, and I thought, well, if I go down that route, I'm gonna get a lot of crap. So it was almost like, yeah, it was the natural choice for me. A few of my mates were Bury fans and the Shakers and all that, Gig Lane, but no, I just kind of gravitated towards Manchester City. And the game that I went to see, Alex Williams was one of the only black players on the pitch,
Yeah.
and he was, I think, I can't even remember the result, but I just remember thinking he was getting a lot of stick and how brave he was. And I didn't watch much of the game. I was too interested in the fans because it was kicking off left, right, and center. And City away fans were brilliant. They were singing their hearts out, and I just loved the whole occasion. And that was probably my first proper game that I went to, a professional game that I went to. And yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Can't remember the result, but I thought, yeah, I enjoyed that. It was a very vibrant and lots of atmosphere, and yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
And Alex, I mean, you mentioned Alex Williams, but I remember when he made his debut, and I remember those years. And I was traveling home and away, and he got an incredible amount of abuse. I interviewed him once, and he said that he wouldn't let his dad come and watch him play.
Yeah.
He knew what would happen. He didn't want his dad to hear that. So, that Alex was an incredible role model, I guess, certainly for most of us, really. But
Yeah.
the work he did for the club over the decades. So jumping on then to joining City. So obviously you had all that great time at West Ham and so on, and then you joined City in 2003. What was it that sort of made you join the Blues, really?
Well, I mean, listen, to start with, we've just been relegated with West Ham, and I straight away said to the manager, who was actually Trevor Brooking at the time, because Glenn wasn't well. God bless him, he's just passed away. And I said to Trevor, listen, I'm staying. I want to get this club back into the Premier League. There's a couple of infamous situations that happened with some of the players at the time where transfer requests went in on the day and all the rest of it. And I was a man, I was, what was it, 29 years old. I wanted to take responsibility for having playing my part in what I thought was a great team getting relegated. The run that we had probably from Christmas was excellent, just didn't do enough, but we ended up with 42 points. And if you can imagine that in today's game, it would have been more than enough to stay up. But yeah, just felt a lot of responsibility that I wanted to stay. But that was taken out of my hands a little bit because I think the club wanted to get me off the wage bill. But not only that, Manchester City came in, and out of all the clubs, probably City was the only club that I would have even considered. One, it was moving into the new stadium. It was exciting times for the football club. Kevin Keegan was the manager. Stuart Pearce, who had played with, obviously was the assistant. And there was it just seemed like a really well-timed, good time to go to the club. Promoted from the Championship. I knew a few of the players because I'd played against them myself. And they'd not. I think they'd had one season up, hadn't they?
Yeah, in the Premier League.
Yeah,
that last season at Main Road,
Yeah, I played against a few of the players and I had a lot of time for Sean Wright Phillips. And just, it was just it's a dream kind of opportunity. And I just thought, I can't waste this opportunity because it's probably going to be the only time that I get to join Manchester City. And I did actually get a chance from Blackpool. Peter Reid organised a game at the old Burden Park, Bolton Stadium. I think what did it have, Asda or something at the end, at one end behind the goal? We played a behind closed doors game there, and I played for Sitter. And by all accounts, I've spoke to Reedy since because I'm quite friendly with him. And Reedy said that they put 300 grand, they wanted 300 grand for me and Alan Wright. And I said, definitely, let's do it. And by all accounts, Peter Swales wouldn't pay the money. And then I think Wrighty obviously went to Blackburn and won the league, and I ended up going to QPR. But I was a bit gutted that I didn't go then. And I always thought, is that my opportunity gone? And then when this opportunity came around, I spoke to Natalie, my wife, and I just said, listen, we've been in London 10 years. This might be a great opportunity to get back up to the Northwest and for me to, realise a dream of playing for Sitter.
Yeah. And was the dream what you hoped it would be?
It wasn't, Gary. I'm being pretty honest. A lot of water had gone under the bridge from that friendly at Bolton, and I'd had a few injuries. So, yeah, I was, I look back and I'm quite harsh and I'm quite realistic with my the way that I look at my time at Manchester City. And it wasn't great. I had a few highlights. Obviously, the Manchester derbies were a couple of them. But all in all, my injuries really suppressed what I could do on the pitch for the team, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, that's not how the fans saw it. The fans saw it differently to that. And, for us, very much having a blue on the pitch on Derby Day was always something special. So I suppose we should... Well, actually, before we talk about the derby, you actually scored the first competitive goal in the stadium as well against TNS, the Welsh team, in the UEFA Cup. Do you remember much about that?
Yeah, I remember the game. I remember, I think we played the... Did we play the first leg at home? It was a qualifier, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the very first game, first competitive game in the stadium as well, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember we played a game against... Barcelona,
yeah.
I scored in that game and the atmosphere was unbelievable. And, it's something that I'll never forget. Obviously it was a new stadium that had been turned from the Commonwealth Games into our home. And I thought, this could be tough turning this around. But straight away, as soon as we started putting decent performances on the pitch, the fans came round to it. And the club was in transition at the time with the stadium, new fan base that was coming in to support the football club. But to score that goal against TNS, it was a dream start. And I just remember it fondly. We were expected to win. It weren't like it was going to be overly competitive, but we had to do it right. And to start the game as well as we did and to score from the corner, it was a really, really good start. And it was something that I was hoping to build on.
So moving on to the derby itself then. So obviously this came in March and we'd not had a great record at home. I don't know if it was because of the stadium move or what, but we hadn't won at home since October when we beat Bolton 6-2, I think it was, or 6-1. It was a great win, but that was it. until March. So Derby Day, especially then against Manchester United, Ferguson and his team had won everything, were continuing to win everything. And we'd, like you say, we'd sort of scraped, well, we'd got out of the first division, we'd had that season at Main Road, we'd moved to a new stadium, we hadn't sort of kicked in really.
No.
So what were your thoughts before the game started, that morning?
Well, I was on the bench. I mean, the build-up in the City was brilliant. The rivalry was there. The pressure was on because I've got family members, friends, all Blues who were like, come on you better put a performance in and win and all the rest of it. And the City was buzzing and I actually feel for the players at the moment, your Ruben Dias is who've never really experienced that because we've been in a pandemic, but it was amazing, being around the fans, training was buzzing. There was a lot of media attention. Obviously Manchester United, I think they'd just gone out, just had a disappointing result in Europe and they were under a little bit of pressure, but the pressure was on us to try and, for me, we were struggling down the lower part of the league and the pressure on us was to start our era at the stadium well and start off with a derby win. And again, you know, even prior to this game, I'd always kept in touch with derby games because being a City fan, it was a big do for the fans. And I remember one game, I'm not sure if it was an early kickoff or I was a late kickoff, and we beat United 5-1.
Yeah.
And I just remember watching it, and like, it was almost like it was on the screen and I weren't supposed to be watching it, and there was a team talk going on and I was still concentrated on the game and a goal's gone in and I'm like half celebrating while the gaffer's giving us a team talk. So yeah, it was just something special. And I think, you know, for a lot of younger Manchester United fans now, it's the same. It's the derby. They want to win the derby. Maybe not the older fans who've experienced a lot of success in the past, but now City are there at the top, right at the elite, and they're there to stay. A lot of younger Manchester United fans look at this rivalry in the same way, from my experience talking to young fans. And, you know, for us, this was the big day. You know, if we could compete and get a good result against Man United, it was, it could kind of plaster over a lot of cracks for the fans. And, yeah, and you know, they'd have bragging rights and they could go into work on the Monday with the head held high. So, yeah, there was a lot of pressure. And even though they were expected to win, I think there was a quiet confidence about us. We had a lot of players that had been injured or were coming back to form. And, yeah, we were just really looking forward to the game. And I think when you play top teams, there's a bit of fear there, because you think if you don't start the game well, you know, and you go one or two down, it could become very uncomfortable. And being the first derby at the new stadium, we didn't want to do that. And I think, you know, the gaffer gave a good team talk, which he was good at getting the lads up for games. And yeah, we went out there and the boys were brilliant. I was on the bench first half and I couldn't believe how well we played. We moved the ball through the lines. Fantastic football. I think we, at times, we dictated play. And we 2-0 up. We went 2-0 up, didn't we? I think Manaman played well. Claudio in the middle was, you know, running the game. And yeah, I was really impressed with the performance and until half time.
Yeah, well, Robbie Fowler scored in the third minute. So,
yeah,
you know, what perfect start in a sense. And then John Macken made it 2-0 after about half an hour. Scholes pulled one back a couple of minutes later. But even so, it's still 2-1 at half time, which,
yeah,
you know, for fans, it was like, nervous, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's 2-1, you know. So, yeah, in the dressing room, did you know straight away that you were going to come on in the second half? Or?
Yeah, because I think like a couple of minutes before the halftime whistle went, I think both players had already like signalled to the bench and to the technical area that, yeah, they were struggling. So we were warming up, and then as soon as we walked into the changing room, Kevin said to me, "You're coming on." And like, I was struggling for confidence because I'd not been fit and my knee was giving me a lot of aggravation. And I just remember going into the toilets and just having a little 30 seconds with myself and having a little pray and saying like, I don't know, well, to God, obviously, but I was just saying, just give me 45 minutes, you know, let me get out there and give a good account of myself for 45 minutes. And the way obviously it's 17 years ago, but when I look back, I thought that Paul Scholes scored quite soon in the second half. And I know that it's documented he scored in the first half, but for whatever reason, I thought he scored in the second half. Anyway, so I've gone on there and I've just thought, make sure I bring something to the table for the lads and make sure I contribute. And yeah, it was quite a fortuitous goal that I scored. It's kind of bounced between two players and I've just latched onto it and caught it perfectly past Van der Sar. And I was ecstatic. You know, I look at the images and the video when I've seen him and I think, who is that? Because I took my shirt off, which I've never done before, never done since, never done before. I tensed up like I was some kind of muscle man. And I think it was just a lot of tension and a lot of relief that I'd contributed, because for all my career, whatever club I've been at, Blackpool, QPR, West Ham, I've always felt like I've been able to contribute a lot on the pitch. And I know some players are good in the dressing room and they don't play often, the great team players, but I've always been one to play and to contribute to my team. And I struggled to do that in that first year at City as much as I'd like, and I'd set my own standards. So, yeah, it was relief. I was ecstatic and, yeah, I completely lost it. You get a booking for that now, but I would have took a booking for it then as well.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of booking somebody when you're celebrating, I mean, the game's an entertainment. It's what we want. We want to see that, don't we? We want to see
a
player celebrating and a player enjoying it. So
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just, I don't know, the stadium when it was buzzing, and we see it now, you know, with this magnificent team that we've assembled and the quality that we've got on the pitch. And, you know, I go to games now as a fan, and the atmosphere is amazing. You know, when the team are really turning on the style and it's something to play for, and we're going for whatever record we're going for. And yeah, it's amazing how much the club's changed, but there was glimpses that of that atmosphere and that support that we had from the fans back then in the new stadium, even when it was in its fledgling times.
And I think without that move to that stadium, the investment would never have happened anyway. So, you know, those first few seasons in that stadium were absolutely vital, because also if we'd have got relegated,
yeah,
you could have gone a completely different way. So,
yeah, I think it's not, you wouldn't say it's going to make lots of headlines. But the way I look at my time at City, I went there, you know, later on in my career as an experienced player. And although we didn't achieve any great success on the pitch, we sustained Premier League status, which has ended up being a stepping stone to where the club are now. So I do feel I play my part in the club's history. But, you know, I don't look back in regret, but I do look back and wonder if I would have made that move when I was at Blackpool straight to City. You know, things would have kind of went the way they did at QPR and at West Ham, maybe it would have been a different story for me at Manchester City. But no, I don't look back with regret. I really look back with a lot of pride, you know, an ambition achieved in playing for my boyhood club. And yeah, some good memories in there as well.
And I guess, like probably most of us, you'd love to play in the team that we've got now, if you had a chance.
Yeah, I'd love to play in the team we've got now, with the facilities that they train at, with the coach and the manager that they've got. The game's completely changed. You know, I seen part of that change during my career, during the latter stages when I got into the England squad, and how professional, you know, players acted both on and off the pitch. You know, and I bought into that in certain ways when I was at West Ham, when I was trying to get into that England squad in 2001, 2002 season, with your diet, with the work you do extra, with the attention to detail, you know, with the opposition that you were playing against the next game. So yeah, it was getting more professional, and I'm pleased, because I think it protects forward players and creative players and players that get fans off the seats, and they're protected a lot more. And you know, while I'm coaching now and I'm running around and I'm coming home with an aching knee, I think if I would have played now, I might not have had an aching knee as well, because the tackling from behind, the sliding tackling from behind, I think that was a massive step forward for the game. And, you know, it was part of the way that the game's played now, I think, has come from decisions and rule changes that we've seen back in the day.
Yeah, it's incredible how it's changed just in the last decade, really.
Yeah.
You know, as a City fan, we think it's City that's changed, but all of football has changed so much. It's incredible.
It has, yeah. But I do feel, you know, with Pep, I do feel he looks at the game in a special way. He's got real fundamental principles that he sticks to. And I've seen, you know, even just since Pep's joined our league, you know, I see all different kinds of football right down the pyramids, and even at my academy, and certain things that are happening all up and down the country weren't happening, you know, before Pep joined our league, and especially playing out from the goalkeeper and certain passes that, you know, the straight pass that the goalkeeper plays into a midfielder that's come in, he's moved out of that space, another midfielder comes in, and a straight ball into him who's free now because they've earned the space. You know, things like that weren't happening. City introduced that Pep introduced that to City's play, and now you see all teams doing it. Obviously, you go wide of the box with your centre-halves and your wing-backs go high, but getting that rotation in the middle of the park, it was something like, it's too risky, it's too dangerous. But when you do it right and the options, unless they're really, really committed with their press, it's very difficult to stop teams playing out from the back if the detail and the quality is there on the ball.
Absolutely. Just jumping back to that derby then, I mean, obviously you had a few successes against United whilst at City, but it was our major game of the season. I mean, things have changed completely now, and we've sort of, it's like role reversal. It's now United's main game. But how would you have celebrated? You know, could you feel it? You know, you obviously could feel the fans and what the fans were thinking, but in the dressing room, in the club in general, what was it like?
You could feel it. I mean, I don't know whether it was just me or whether other players would say they felt the same kind of exhilaration, but it was one where I just, I actually felt like a fan after I'd scored. You know, I've never really felt like that before. You know, I've been happy to score goals and, you know, but to score against Manchester United for City, it was just a special feeling. And like I say, the first time when I took my top off, I've scored against United before for West Ham, for QPR. I've done it before, but doing it for City, it just meant, it felt different. And even, you know, I know I scored in that first derby, the second derby or the second game we'd be beaten 3-1. I actually thought I was like a key player in that game. I played against Every, got taken off at halftime. I scored the first goal of the game. You know, it was like that was one of the games that I look back on, and that's more like what Manchester City, what West Ham fans seen, what more like what QPR fans seen. And that's what I wanted to bring to Manchester City. So that day in particular, I look back with great fondness because that was what I was about. And unfortunately, the City fans didn't see enough of that.
Yeah, but what we did see was great. And certainly, you know, I'm sure you get a lot of City fans now talking fondly about your time at the club because, you know, the move to stadium was an unsettling time for fans in some ways. So the fact that we had somebody, well, it wasn't just you, but a number of City fans on the pitch, if you like, really made a difference.
Yeah, and, you know, I look at the, I don't know what it, again, I don't know if this is just the way I feel, but I do feel that Manchester City and West Ham are quite intertwined with the way that they are as clubs and the fabric of both the football clubs. And obviously Manchester City have got fantastic owners now who've invested massively, not just in Manchester City as a football club, but in the area where the stadium is and what they've done there is second to none. And I just feel that West Ham went through that and they're probably through it now, and I'd like to think with the football that they've played this season under David Moyes, when the fans are allowed back, they'll really appreciate that stadium as Manchester City fans appreciate the Etihad now. But, you know, it's took investment from the owners. You know, even the stadium that I played in, it's moved to another level now with, you know, the hospitality, with the stands and the you know, the increased capacity and all the rest of it. But, yeah, Manchester City have certainly made that stadium their own now, and, you know, the run that they've been on, which was unfortunately dented last week against United. He's been incredible. And I only see good things for the club. You know, the way that they're running the club, the business model, going around the world and investing in other clubs in all corners of the world. I think the academy, again, that seems very important. And for me, you know, that's the reason, one of the biggest reasons I'm a fan of Pep's, because he does want to bring players through from the academy and bring them into the first team. And I think any club worth its salt, that should be a fundamental kind of principle that they try and achieve. And I know it's not always possible, especially with the quality in the Premier League now, but it should be something that they're all trying to achieve. And I'm pretty proud that City are one of them clubs that try and achieve that. And, you know, you see Foden coming in and other players that have come in. It's great to see, and it must be really heartening for fans to see how the club's being run.
I think it's incredible that, in a sense, it's taken overseas investors to actually, first of all, to sort of reignite City in some way, but not just that, it's taken overseas investors to actually say, look, let's get the best facilities, let's do this. And all of those other clubs that potentially could have done what City have done, you know, the clubs that were making huge profits in the past and had fantastic sponsorship deals, never really invested to that extent. And it's incredible.
I think. Listen, you get business people who have different business models and different ideas, but I just feel the level of expertise that our owners have brought to the football club and the vision, you know, and it's not just one facet. So you can say, oh, bring in the best manager, bring in the best players, but then they've evolved the stadium as to be one of the best stadiums. The training facilities are one of the best. The actual way that they recruit, the way that they're trying to train the players to come in and have a chance of getting in that first team, the way that they've invested abroad in other football clubs so that they've got almost feeder clubs that they can send their players out that come through academies, test them at that level. Can they do it at that level? Get them back in. Let's have another little look. Okay, we'll put them somewhere else in the world, which is maybe a slightly higher level. Can they deal with that until eventually they are ready? Because you can't just go straight from the academy to playing in the first team. So you must gain that experience playing men's football, but rather than go sink or swim, they've put so much time and effort and finances into that player, or investment, not finances, investment into that player, rather than throwing him in at a championship club where they could get booted up and down, or they might find the intensity Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, or Saturday, Wednesday, but Saturday, Tuesday too much. Give them a realistic chance of getting to them levels, physicality and experience, so they've got a chance. So I think all across the board, and then you look at the value of the football club and where we are in the finances and the earning of football clubs around the world. I think we're fifth or sixth now in the world, and that's only going to improve. It's going to continue, and yeah, it's a fantastic model that they've achieved to execute. And again, you know, kudos to the owners and everyone that's involved with that. I look at your tweets because you put a few charts out, which has got the best supporting clubs in the country over a long time, and like City are up there, the top four or five, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I've used that actually to say, well, you say we've got no support, but actually look at the figures, look at the facts.
And West Ham are up there as well. People think, oh, we've moved to this new stadium and suddenly we've got all those fans. But go back and through history, and we had all those fans.
Yeah.
And what we didn't have, like City, was the success year after year. Anyway, so thanks for doing this.
No problem, it's my pleasure.
I'll let you go now. But if you need anything, let us know as well.
Appreciate that. Top man, thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.